Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. War costs a lot.
The troop surge is leading to a dollar surge. The Congressional Research Service reports the Iraq war is now costing $10 billion a month. That's way up from last year, which was higher than the year before. The cost in lives is mounting, too. And Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid is trying again to get the Senate to set a deadline for pulling out U.S. forces.
I understand the feelings of the American people that we haven't done enough because we haven't done enough.
But the White House insists no change in strategy is planned, and Senate Republicans can still block any attempt to force one. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Since September 11, 2001, Congress appropriating $610 billion in war-related money. That is roughly the same as spent in the entire war in Vietnam. Nationwide heat wave today in the nation's capital.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. The temperature rose to almost 100. Tourists were buying bottled water, and if locals had a drink or a bite outside, it was under the awnings of cafes, bars, and restaurants.
Today is hot, but definitely I'm standing in the shade drinking iced tea.
In the sun, it definitely feels like 100, but in the shade, I'd say it's a lot nicer. Maybe 85.
Local government, as in many hot towns, asked car owners not to add to the thick, bad air. Please drive less. Dan Revive, CBS News, downtown D.C.
It is the biggest fire in the history of the state of Utah.
The fire right now is between 0 and 5% contained. And if you can imagine 300,000 acres, that leaves a lot of turf to cover.
Rowdy Muir, the Bureau of Land Management there. Out-of-control fires are burning in Nevada, Arizona, and South Dakota. California's Inyo National Forest fire is 50% contained. Do you volunteer?
Volunteers of America!
Probably depends on where you live. New report listing top cities for volunteering, and at the top, Minneapolis-St. Paul, where 4 out of 10 adults do volunteer somewhere.
I think it's tied to a number of things, including some strong Scandinavian traditions. That's the heritage of many of us here in town. And also the leadership of a lot of the leading families over the last couple of generations.
Michael Weber heads up the Volunteers of America in Minnesota. How many reasons can you think of not to smoke? How many reasons to smoke? CBS's Barry Bagnato.
There are a myriad of medical reasons not to smoke. Here's a rare benefit. Confirming earlier studies, UCLA researchers find tobacco smoke reduces a person's risk of developing Parkinson's disease. Long-term smokers and those who are currently lighting up have the lowest risk. Why is this? Not clear, says this study in the Archives of Neurology. Could be something in the tobacco has a protective effect when it comes to the parts of the brain linked to Parkinson's.
Those UCLA researchers are pretty busy. They say that muscular young men are likely to have more sex partners than their less chiseled peers. The study suggests that muscles in men are akin to elaborate tail feathers in a male peacock. They attract females looking for a virile male. Near record close for the Dow today, finishing up 38 points at 13,649. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
The National Hurricane Center has a new boss, Bill Proenza, blown out of there after just a few months at the top. CBS's Peter King.
Bill Proenza is a longtime National Weather Service employee, and he was a very strong advocate for the National Hurricane Center while he was there. The problem was that he did so very publicly and in a way that many forecasters felt undermined their jobs and hurt their credibility. His replacement is Ed Rappaport, the center's deputy director and a longtime hurricane specialist. Many felt he should have gotten the job in the first place.
Harris, looking for a new image, not Hilton, the city, the top tourist destination in the world, despite its reputation for rudeness on the part of the locals. City officials setting out to change that, telling cab drivers to smile, encouraging waiters to try out their English. A tour guide from Paris insists that the habits of her fellow Parisians are changing. She says if visitors would first try to explain to folks that they don't speak French instead of simply speaking English, the French people can be very warm. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, my neighbor has termites. Should I worry?
Absolutely. The fact is that termites can damage as many homes as fires.
I know it. Honey, I told you they'd ruin the neighborhood.
Who, the termites or the neighbors?
Take your pick.
Well, either way, there's no need to worry, as long as you have an Orkin Home Protection Plan.
Ooh, thank my heavens. You got anything to keep his dogs off my lawn?
Different show.
Dagnabbit, I'll call back.
Okay, but for a free termite inspection, call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak, or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Peter B. Collins.
Right here.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Shakira, Shakira. I never really knew that she could dance like this. She make a man want to speak Spanish. Como se llama?
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, coming to you all the way live in vivo from San Francisco.
So be wise and keep on.
Had a wild weekend. Hope you did too. Going to settle in for 3 hours of news and talk and conversation. It's a progressive talk show, and we take your phone calls. Have you figured that out? I even pay for the calls myself. I wrote the check on Friday. You call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Coming up about 30 minutes, Mike Lux returns to our program to announce the debut of a new website called openleft.com. In fact, every one of our guests is related to a website today. It's just amazing. Jana Crowder joins us next hour. Her website, AmericanContractorsInIraq.com. And she has one sorry tale after another of people who thought they were going to make the big bucks in the war zone. And when they come home, they're on their own. That is, if they survive. More than 1,000 contractors have been killed in Iraq.
Yes, sir.
Also on today's program, Cliff Schechter returns. He's got a book in the mill coming out this fall called The Real McCain. He blogs at cliffschechter.com. We're going to talk about those Republicans peeling off from Bush on the war. And Johnny McCain went to Baghdad, or at least to Iraq, over the July 4th holiday break. We'll see if that's going to improve his sorry standing in the polls and if he's ready to bolt the Bush administration. Also today, Kevin Camps from Nuclear Information and Resource Service asked the question, all of those fuel rods at Diablo Canyon, are they vulnerable to a terrorist attack? That's a critical question. And also on today's show, we're going to take a look at the battle shaping up over executive privilege as the White House rebuffs subpoena requests from the Congress. Amanda Turkle will join us from the Center for American Progress. That's all ahead today on the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got Shakira playing in the background. And I just wanted to share with you that I got to catch portions of the Live Earth concert. But due to a technological breakdown at the home of Peter B. Collins, I'm really bummed. I programmed my TiVo to capture 8 hours of Live Earth on Saturday. It did so and promptly erased it on Sunday because the file was so big and I had instructed it to record Saturday Night Live. And at that point, it deleted all of my Live Earth coverage. So I did get to see Shakira. I saw the Beastie Boys. I saw a lot of good acts. And more importantly, there was a lot of good interstitial propaganda, which was in there between the musical performances. And I hope that you, too, will answer the call. Kicking off our show today, we turn to Eric Bollert at Media Matters for America. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. Eric, how are you today?
Hey, Peter. Good, and you?
Good to talk with you again. Eric's the author of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. I first talked to Eric when he was writing at Salon and exposing what happened under media consolidation and how a behemoth like Clear Channel grew to, 1,200 stations before they dialed back. And he's now over at Media Matters. Eric, did you get a chance to see Live Earth?
Yeah, I saw quite a bit of it on and off during the weekend. Whenever I was in, I'd pop in and, you know, I had three different channels it was on in my house.
Yeah.
It was sort of hopping all over the place. I thought, you know, I thought it was interesting. There was some good stuff.
Well, and according to my GPS, you actually live near Giant Stadium.
Yeah, I was about 5-7 miles from Giant Stadium. That's right.
Uh-huh, from Gore Zero.
That's right. The home of Bon Jovi now.
Yeah. Well, I really think it appears that it was very effective. I think it did raise awareness and certainly entertained a lot of people. So it'll be interesting to see 5 years from now how we look back on that.
It was interesting to read the a lot of the conservative bloggers. They were so anxious for it to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they spent a lot of yesterday and today. You know, the London ratings weren't good. And it was really interesting just to see their obsession with sniping.
Yeah.
At the concert before it even took place. Sort of a sad position to be in. I mean, you're sort of a climate denier at this point, and they want it to fail. But, yeah, no, I think it was a big success.
Well, and I want to take one little snapshot at Sir Bob Geldof, because I don't know why he felt compelled to go public.
I think it's called EGO.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. He was a Live Aid producer and founder and took shots at Live Earth, saying it didn't have a purpose, or I don't know. I think Bob is notoriously difficult to work with, as often, you know, very creative people are.
I interviewed Sir Bob before one of the Live Aid shows, and he had just flown overnight into San Francisco on a red eye.
Yeah, that must have been a fun interview.
And it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I don't think Bob usually does 8 a.m. And he was not that charming, but, hey, you turn the microphone on, and he was right there delivering his pitch.
Yeah.
And I like the Rats. I like some of his music, too. So
I'll
give him a pass, but it's just one of those cases where I think he would have been better off just to keep his powder dry.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, if people visit MediaMatters.org, there's a powerful piece up, a column by Eric Bollert, entitled "The Washington Post Weeps for Scooter Libby." And, Eric, you did a great job here in enumerating some of the things. I don't read the Post on a daily basis. I get an email of their political stories and read a couple of them. And so you're summing up for us that the Washington Post has yet to have somebody on their op-ed page offering a critical look at the conviction, sentencing, and commutation of I. Lewis Scooter Libby.
Yeah, this column actually appeared before Bush stepped in and gave Libby his get out of jail column card free. But it's interesting because it still holds true, because they still, as far as I can tell, have not invited a guest writer to write anything negative about Scooter Libby or anything positive about the Fitzgerald investigation. I was writing this because I was so struck at the Washington Post editorial page, the unsigned editorials and the guest writers they had invited in had been at the absolute forefront of trying to create the sympathy for Scooter Libby. If you read the polls, it was a failure. Most overwhelming majority of Americans want him to serve his prison term.
Do you believe this is intended for an audience of one or two over at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
It's just a classic attempt to frame the debate inside the Beltway.
Eric, let me just jump in here. There's one possible explanation. You know, the Times and the Post both, they're four letters or five. But do you think there's ever been some sort of a screw-up where the editorial comments from the Washington Times actually ended up being published in the Post? Just a, internet mistake?
Sometimes it seems like it. I mean, the Washington Post has just been such a strong supporter of the war. And it's just sort of been this diehard Scooter Libby fan. I mean, I was reading through these are some of the comments they use to describe the Scooter Libby trial and investigation. Which by every standard was a by-the-book, white-collar prosecution. There was never even a hint of improper leaks like Kenneth Starr. It was a very professional trial. It was a Republican-appointed judge. I mean, the whole thing was totally by the books. Washington Post, train wreck, a game, overblown, tempest in a teapot, sideshow, injustice, waste of time, nuts, bankrupt, farce, excessive, injustice, misguided. It was just relentless, the catcalling that came from the Washington Post editorial page. And it's interesting because I suggested that it was really a social more than a political or legal argument, and that they completely empathized with Scooter Libby, you know, prep school, Ivy League, Harvard Law, high white-collar attorney before he came to the administration. I mean, people like this just don't belong in prison, you know. If you work at the White, if you work for a Bush White House, you just don't belong in prison. Of course, when Bill Clinton was in office, it was the same Washington Post, which sort of speaks for the Beltway, elite, that was urging people to be sent to prison. So there was a pretty wild double standard. And again, to date, since Bush stepped in last week, you know, the Washington Post still hasn't really been critical of Scooter Libby, and they have not invited anyone in to make any salient points about it.
Well, and Eric Bowler, what really sold me on your column is when I got to the header about Victoria Tonsing, however she pronounces her name, and this is a beauty. The Post's hacktacular.
Victoria Tonsing. Well, people probably remember her from the Clinton Wars. Even if you try to erase it from your mind, it's hard to get her persona out of your head. She was on every cable channel. She was just, you know, grating to watch. You know, she was so unappealing and so, you know, she was so over the top with her rhetoric, and she dressed herself up as some sort of legal scholar, and all she really was, you know, was a partisan hack. And she sort of disappeared in terms of the public radar, but she came back. The Washington Post resurrected her during the Scooter Libby, and they invited her to write two guest columns in which she was, you know, portrayed as some sort of legal expert.
And those columns,
if you go back and read them, there's nothing in there. There's nothing in her columns that are either serious or correct.
And, Eric, at least one of those columns appeared on the Sunday before jury selection began.
Right. And the charge was made online that this was sort of, you know, almost jury tampering. At that time, the Washington Post was just pumping out these columns about, you know, how this case should have never gone to court, how it was so confusing because no one was ever charged with leaking Valerie Plame's name. I mean, it was ironic because if you go back to Patrick Fitzgerald's 2005 press conference, he was explaining that Scooter Libby was charged because the analogy he used was he had thrown sand in the face of the umpire, so they couldn't really, the umpire being the Justice Department, couldn't figure out if a crime was committed. The Washington Post really went out of its way during key parts of the trial to throw sand in the face of readers and news consumers, so they could not get the actual facts. This was not an opinion page which was trying to illuminate and using the power of persuasion. It was absolutely bent on misleading people at every possible turn about the facts of the case. And that's, I mean, to me, that you've crossed the line into propaganda. You're no longer part of an intellectual pursuit. You're really just doing propaganda. You're trying to confuse, ignore the facts, and things like that.
And this is the paper I used to respect for blowing the cover off the Nixon Watergate cover-up. And
well,
here,
this is all part of the collapse. The war in Iraq has just taken an extraordinary toll on the Washington Post, particularly its editorial page, which is overseen by Fred Hyatt, and the op-ed page. I think E.J. Dionne and maybe, I don't think Eugene Robinson was a columnist back then. You know, I can, maybe there were two columnists of the Washington Post who even raised questions about that war. When I was researching my book, Lapdogs, I found between the fall of 2002 and the winter of 2003, the Washington Post printed 28 editorials in favor of the war. Comically, when Bush went on the aircraft carrier, and it was
mission accomplished.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The Post wrote this great column making fun of people for making fun of Bush. The column announced that Bush had won the war. I mean, in the summer of 2003, the Washington Post editorial page announced that George Bush had won the war in Iraq.
I got to take a break. Eric Bollert with us from Media Matters. Read all about it at MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, why was Al Sharpton sitting in for Chris Matthews? And some trash talk from Michael Savage. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Eric Bollard from Media Matters on the web, mediamatters.org. And Eric, who do you want to talk about next, Sharpton or Savage? I'll let you choose.
Let's talk about Al Sharpton.
Okay. I was a little surprised because I flipped on Hardball last week, and he was sitting in for Chris Matthews, who took a couple of days off. And I only suspect, and I just want to raise this and see if you have a comment, that he was there because of a deal he cut with NBC when he helped Don Imus get fired.
I don't know anything about if there was a deal or not. It was certainly Al Sharpton was at the forefront of that controversy, and obviously NBC ended up firing Don Imus. You know, he's done talk before. I mean, he is basically a professional broadcaster as well as a...
Yeah, he's got a radio, a syndicated radio show now.
And, you know, I think it's great they open it up to other voices. You know, sometimes Al Sharpton doesn't, I mean, as a progressive, as a Democrat, you know, would he be my first pick? Probably not.
Yeah.
But again, you know, really anyone you can get to broaden the perspective and broaden the conversation, I think that's good. I'm sure he was asking questions Chris Matthews would never think of asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he did an okay job. My issue is, as soon as I saw him, though, I just said, wow. You know, this was something that was hammered out when he had the ears of the executives during the Imus play.
Well, at the time, I know MSNBC made announcements about trying to, you know, expand its diversity and things like that. So that may certainly be part of it. You know, I just don't know if there was anything more formal than that with Sharpton involved.
Yeah. Well, next, let's talk about Michael Savage. I'm sad to say that he originates in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It really bugs me because I'm a sailor and I love the bay, and the publicity shot that he uses is from a boat with the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. And he's just such an annoying, hateful character. And
speaking of MSNBC, they had to fire him, if you remember. They gave him a TV show, and it lasted a couple of weeks before he said some wildly hateful things about people, I think, dying with AIDS and
right.
The end of his TV career. But you're right.
And now
the radar.
Now he is sliming. Now he's sliming Media Matters by calling it the homosexual mafia. Let's listen to a little clip here.
Many of you are on vacation time. I understand that as well. Most of the country is in this kind of dozy, lazy, sleepy business as usual. I don't blame you. I don't blame you for wanting to pretend America is what it was when your father was. In this country. No, it's not your father's America. It is not your father's America at all. The radical Islamists are amongst us. They are in cahoots with the radical leftists. They are vigilant and they work 24/7. The radical left, the homosexual mafia, and the Islamists are all working together to undermine talk radio to begin with. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would the homosexual mafia, in the form of Media Matters, and the Islamists agree that conservative talk radio should be picked off and taken off the air?
Now, first of all, Media Matters did not publish the recent report about right-wing dominance of talk radio, Eric. That came from the Center for American Progress and Free Press.
That's right, that's right.
And the only thing I know is that I believe, and I've never confirmed this, that David Brock is gay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's been open about that.
Yeah, so what is the big deal here, and how does Media Matters become a part or the center front
right.
of the homosexual mafia, and does that make David Brock a tutti to tutti capo or something like that?
I mean, you talk about a vast conspiracy. I mean, it's bad enough that we're part of the gay mafia, but now we're also apparently having late-night meetings with the Islamist terrorists.
Right.
Or conspiring to overthrow the country.
And they're pro-gay, we know that.
What's that?
The Islamic extremists, they're pro-gay.
Right, not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, Michael Savage is just, you know, the ultimate insult for Michael Savage is to label someone, you know, gay. I mean, to him, I mean, he clearly has deep-seated problems.
Oh, indeed.
With the issue.
He's psychotic.
Or not.
I would say he's clearly psychotic.
Well, he has issues with gays that are not among the normal conservative
right.
broadcaster. I mean,
Eric Bollard, I'm out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know, it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at high levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people.
I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
What do you say we start a new website for lefties, huh? Yeah, you know, and let's put some video up there and some links and some blog action. What should we call it? We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Mike Lux joins us again today, and he's been on with us over, I don't know, the last couple of months. He is an activist based in Washington, D.C., with his fingers in many different little pies. And today I got an email announcing the launch of OpenLeft.com. And it's a collaboration of Mike Lux and Chris Bowers and others who you know from MyDD.com. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing, Peter?
Not too bad. And we just want to know, what kind of a repeat offender are you? Exactly how many websites have you been involved with over the last 10 or 15 years?
Wow, that, you know, that is a really scary question. And I don't think I want to know the answer to that, let alone you. I've kind of lost count.
I would imagine their hosting services that they see the name Mike Lux and they say, yeah, he's a web guy.
I have started my fair share.
Yeah. Tell us about this one. I'm intrigued.
Well, you know, this is something that I'm as excited about as anything I've done, you know, in the recent past. I started a new blog with Matt Stoller and Chris Bowers from who've been with MyDD for the last few years, and they're both extremely influential and well-known bloggers in the blogosphere, and have both helped organize, you know, the blogging community to take on different projects. And they approached me a few months back about the idea of working together on a blog that would be basically a bridge between what we call the open left and more of the sort of establishment and insider kinds of folks, the traditional organizations that arose in the 1930s and in the 1950s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I looked at the links on the right-hand side of the page here, I had a moment of laughter thinking of Don Rumsfeld talking about old Europe and new Europe. And so I'd like you to help us understand your distinction between an open left group, which includes Rock the Vote, Act Blue, Craigslist, Daily Kos, Davey D's Hip Hop Corner, MyDD, Move On, Media Matters. They were just on with us a couple of minutes ago. And then you have new left groups, which includes the ACLU. Now, they're pretty old in my book, but certainly still very relevant. And then you define old left groups as labor organizations and the Nation. So I'm a little puzzled. What are your criteria for how you group these organizations?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Matt Stoller came up with this criteria, and he wrote a piece that I think is worth reading about why we call this open left, and the basic idea is this. And by the way, you can, if you want to look at that piece, it is what is openleft.com.
Okay.
And it's still on the front page. But our belief is this: that in the 1930s there was a movement of organizations that was led by and dominated by the labor movement that turned the country around in terms of creating New Deal politics and pushing FDR to the left so that he actually did all the good stuff that now the history books give him credit for, like Social Security, for example, and many of the other programs that in the New Deal got us out of the Depression. We think the next great wave of progressivism happened in the late 50s and the 1960s, when a whole series of organizations and movements changed the country again, changed it through destroying Jim Crow and through creating the environmental movement and building other kinds of progressive movements, feminism and Cesar Chavez and what he did. Those folks and those movements changed America again and brought us all kinds of great policies that we're still seeing the benefits from. And we feel like since that time, progressives have been relatively quiet. We got, I think, maybe got a little cocky and got a little placid, and there wasn't much movement in the movement. A lot of these organizations kind of slowed down and stopped doing real organizing. And we've been through a period over the last 30 years in this country where the right has won at least presidential elections a lot more than progressives had, and that the conservative movement has kind of dominated the political dialogue in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that has the potential to change and is changing. In fact, as we speak, the internet and new media and the creativity of the movement that's being helped along by technology and media is opening the door to a new, much more mass-based politics, politics that's based on interaction, on dialogue, on really opening up American politics, so that people aren't just sitting on their couch watching TV ads, but are actually engaged in the process in a really serious way.
Mike Lux is with us. The new website he's talking about, openleft.com. Drop in and take a look for yourself. Now, Mike, let's talk about this word progressive. Chris Bowers has a piece posted here that I have up in front of me right now, where he went and instead of ascribing progressivism to the presidential candidates, he simply analyzed their websites. And he lists here how many times the different candidates use the word progressive. On JohnEdwards.com, it's almost 3,500 times. Dennis Kucinich, who I consider to be a true progressive, he's spare, considering, 379 times. Hillary Clinton, 97. Barack Obama, 17. Chris Dodd, 17. And half of those are in two articles that mention it nine times, so that's not necessarily significant. Bill Richardson has only lately been embracing the word progressive, eight times on his website. Mike Gravel, only five times. And Joe Biden only four times. Now, I am not uncomfortable calling myself a liberal, Mike, and that's what I am. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, for marketing purposes, for this radio show, we use the term progressive. And part of that is because they poisoned the word liberal back there in the 80s, and it's really hard to detoxify it. So I understand the problem people come up with in attempting to provide meaningful labels at this time. But what does progressive mean to you? And certainly aren't all the Democrats progressives, particularly if you compare them to any Republican?
Well, if you compare them to any Republican, I would say yes. And I don't know that Chris would necessarily, or Matt would necessarily agree with that. But I do believe that all of the Democrats are far more progressive in the way I think of progressive than all the Republicans. And, you know, it's funny. I've never particularly liked labels, but you have to call yourself something. I think a lot of other people have tended to call ourselves progressives because it feels more inclusive. In my term, it feels more big tent and open. I mean, mm-hmm. Go back to that word again. Than does liberal, which you know, when I was growing up in the state of Nebraska, it was a word that, even though I was liberal on all kinds of issues, I just didn't relate to it that much, and so I grew up calling myself progressive, and I think that's as good a word as any. I mean, to me, what that movement means and what that word means is that you care as much about the common good as you do about your own individual welfare. That to me is the way of summing it up in a sentence. I grew up in a family where we believed in taking care of each other, and we believed in taking care of our neighbors. And if somebody down the street got in trouble, we helped them. We brought food over, and if the parents were having a hard time and my mom needed to take in the other kids for a few days, we did it. And to me, that's what progressivism is that you look out for your family and your neighbors and your community, and you don't worry about whether as Newt Gingrich once put it, whether folks down the block are normal Americans. Newt Gingrich once said, Republicans are the party of normal Americans. And by that, he meant, I think, I mean, I to me of that phrase, and I think his policies proved it, meant that what he was about were white people, were married people, were straight people, were people who had enough money that they didn't have to ever worry about things financially. And I think what progressivism is all about is looking out for everybody, looking out for the broader community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to direct people to the website, openleft.com, and this piece that Chris Bowers wrote, I think, is very interesting just to take a look at. And so you can kind of follow the candidates, maybe even look at their websites yourself, and see if the word progressive is meaningful to you and if it's used in a way that resonates with you. Nick in Santa Cruz joins us now. Hey, Nick, you're on the air. Go ahead and speak to me and Mike Lux.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to chime in. Instead of trying to find out, you know, by what the candidates say and what they say their positions are, whether they're progressive or not, I think the best way is to, there's a website that I found poking around a couple nights ago. It's ontheissues.org, and it basically breaks down the way everybody has voted in the Congress and all the way through. And if you go to that website, it breaks down everything, and you can actually look and see what these people have done rather than what they say. And I think that's a powerful thing. And there's also a questionnaire, and you fill out the questionnaire, and it actually matches you up with candidates that have the like mind as you and vote the same way that you would.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Nick, thanks. I've never been to ontheissues.org, but I will take a look.
Yeah, ontheissues.org is a good site.
And I
agree with you, and I encourage people to go to it. Yeah, you know, I think Chris's point in doing this analysis wasn't so much that you should judge the candidates on the basis of how often they say they're progressive. I think certainly I agree with you, and I think he would as well, that the way you judge candidates is what they've done and their specific stance on issues and if they're in the Senate or the House, whether they've taken the hard votes or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the analysis itself was just interesting as to how candidates are projecting themselves, whether they're willing to embrace that term or not. And I think it's just one more thing that is interesting to analyze and interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think one of the interesting things, Peter, about our site is that it's really going to be a combination of that kind of outsider perspective of looking at the candidates and also organizations from the perspective that Chris and Matt have as young activists who have not been inside the Beltway for a long time, and combining that with an old dog like me who's been around for a while, been in D.C. for a while, knows a lot of the players and has an understanding of why they do the sometimes goofy things that they do. And I think that interaction, I think, is going to make for a really fascinating blog.
Mike, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about a post that you put up there at openleft.com recounting your experience in the Clinton administration and the way Democrats responded to the challenge of impeachment, and see how we can apply those lessons to the situation today. If you want to talk with Mike Lux, he's with us for another segment. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up after the top of the hour news, Jana Crowder will join us. She was quoted on the front page of the New York Times last week about her website, AmericanContractorsInIraq.com. And she has some powerful stories about the fates and fortunes and misfortunes of those who went as soldiers of fortune to George Bush's war. Also next hour, Cliff Schechter returns. His new book, The Real McCain, is coming out this fall. We'll talk about the senior senator from Arizona and his most recent trip to Iraq. See if he's ready to jump ship like, oh, Voinovich, Lugar, Warner, Specter. Continue with Mike Lux, L-U-X, his new website in collaboration with Matt Stoller and Chris Bowers of MyDD.com is called OpenLeft.com. Drop by and check it out. He's got video and there's a blog action going on there. It's fully interactive, great website. How long you guys been working on this, Mike?
Well, we've been working on it for, I tend to lose track of time, but it's been a couple months now. We've been talking about the idea in general even longer, and we just decided that the three of us together would be an interesting combination.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as I said before the break, you know that these two really really smart and very influential folks from the blogosphere and an old fart like me might have some really good be able to generate some really good dialogue and some really good interaction, and to be a bridge from the more traditional progressive movement to the new progressive movement represented by.
I want to raise your consciousness about language here, because you know farts contribute to global warming. And so you're a dinosaur, but we don't use fart anymore.
Sorry about that, man. I'll try never to do it again either.
Yeah. Well, your family would appreciate that. Joe in Brookings, Oregon, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Mike Lux.
Yeah, well, I was a progressive before it was cool to be called a progressive, and I'm sick and tired of the organizations like Airhead America that bastardize the word progressive. Or see, the Democrats, they're only progressive when you compare them to the Republicans. They're really not very progressive at all. I mean, you know, who's Hillary Clinton's running mate going to be? Is it going to be Rupert Murdoch? I mean...
No, he, well, wait a minute, he did get citizenship. Maybe he could, I don't know. I hadn't thought of that, Joe. Mike, do you have a reaction?
Well, look, I don't disagree with you that they are really only progressive in comparison. They are certainly better than the Republicans because the Republicans have just gone crazy on us. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, there were Republicans like Nelson Rockefeller and Mac Mathias, who actually had decent voting records, and they weren't progressive, but you could talk to them at least.
Yeah. Chuck Percy
issues.
From Illinois.
They voted with the labor movement most of the time. I mean, they were good. They were decent guys. But the Republicans have just gone completely wacko on us, and the problem is that the strength of the conservative movement outside the Republican Party moved the country as a whole to the right, and so the Republicans kept getting wackier and wackier, and now they just look really terrifying. And but the Democrats kind of got pulled along in the jet stream as well, and they moved more conservative. So I don't disagree with you. And part of what Matt and Chris and I want to do is to make the point with people that it's not just electing Democrats. We're all for electing Democrats, and we will support, you know, any Democrat that gets nominated over any of these Republicans who get nominated because the Republicans are so far right. But it's also about building a broader progressive movement that can do more than just elect Democrats, but that can actually move the country more to the progressive side of issues.
And Joe, unwittingly, you've set us up, teed us up beautifully here. We're going to use you and thank you for your call. Because, Mike, you addressed this in a post that's up, you just put it up yesterday at openleft.com, and you tell the story about fighting against the Republicans on the Clinton impeachment team. And talk a little bit about your, it's a gentle indictment, but still not too polite, and your basic premise is that Democrats don't fight hard enough.
Well, that is my premise. I think if you look back over the history of the last, certainly 20 years, and I think you could mark it further than that, the one constant, with occasional exception, on only occasional, of National Democratic Party has been that we react to the vicious attacks of the right wing and the Republican Party with caution rather than taking it to them and fighting back. And you don't win in politics by doing that. You don't win by letting your opponent dictate things. And the impeachment story, I told that story because... in part because I felt it was like the quintessential example of this, and in part because it really was the start of something. I believe it was the start of this new movement, because it was where grassroots citizens outside of Washington, outside of politics, got involved and started the Move On petition, and really made a difference in this country, and then kept building from there. So I believe it's an important story to tell.
I'm pleased to see that Move On, which was formed to tell the Republicans to move on from the Clinton impeachment, has agreed to move on impeachment of Cheney, supporting the Kucinich Resolution 333. And I'm delighted that they've come to that point, and I hope we'll see that effort grow. Just about 20 seconds remaining, Mike. What is your sense? Will there be a formal impeachment of Cheney and possibly Bush?
You know, I tend to doubt it. I think again, we have a cautious party, and I think the politics of impeachment are always dicey. And so, whether we'll be able to get whether the Democratic leadership will want to move on that, I think is an open question.
All right, Mike Lux. We'll talk again soon. Openleft.com. Congratulations,
Dad. Thanks for having me on, Peter.
You bet.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Why would we hand the beating heart of democracy, the vote, over to a private corporation?
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And we're giving it to a corporation called Diebold, whose former president, Wally O'Dell, says, you know, I'm going to give Ohio to George W. Bush. We're giving it to a corporation like ES&S, who used to be run by Chuck Hagel, the Republican senator from Nebraska. I mean, it's our vote.
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. More talk about getting out of Iraq.
This deck of cards is coming crashing down.
How hot is it? Hot enough to burn.
We are a veritable tinderbox right now.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Military leaders say it's too early to judge the success of the troop surge in Iraq, but there's increasing pressure to get out. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Just days before President Bush is expected to formally report to Congress that benchmarks set to measure progress in Iraq have not been met, the Senate opened another Iraq debate on a Pentagon spending bill. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid wants to try again to set a deadline for withdrawing troops, but knows there's a question whether it can pass.
Whether the Republicans who have said publicly they think the president's course should change are willing to vote with us.
For its part, the White House insisted today the president is not considering any change in Iraq policy, and the Congressional Research Service reported the surge in troops has raised the cost of the Iraq war to $10 billion a month. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Where's all that money going? CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland highlights a few cost factors.
We've seen basically a somewhat of an increase over the last few months, certainly with the surge, which obviously costs additional funds. Second of all, we've seen increasing demands to procure new equipment, particularly those vehicles that are resistant to the improvised explosive devices and explosively formed projectiles.
Senior Pentagon officials tell CBS News there is an internal debate on what conditions have to exist short of victory to start withdrawing troops. Iraqi leaders warned today that a premature pullout could lead to an all-out civil war and a complete collapse of the country. Now this.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Our next life exercise, fanning the ultra-sensitive smoke detector. 4, 3, 2, 1, grab a kitchen towel. Flex arms and hopelessly wave up and down. Grab a broom, thrust and stab. Grab burning pot roast and throw out open window. Wind up and pause. Don't forget to open window.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
The White House today invoked executive privilege to block sworn testimony from former presidential aides about the firings of U.S. attorneys, prompting this from Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy.
Serving for this senator raises the question, what is the White House trying to hide by refusing to turn over this evidence?
CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has more.
In his latest assertion of executive privilege, President Bush does not want his former counsel or political director to testify about the firings of those nine U.S. attorneys. Spokesman Tony Snow says the White House is on perfectly solid legal ground and denies it's stonewalling.
More than 8,500 pages of documents, we pointed out, have been produced, and we have also offered for extensive interviews of the key players people want to hear from.
Congress can step up to the showdown by pursuing a contempt citation and challenge the president in court. Mark Noller, CBS News, Washington.
Hot and dry, perfect conditions for wildfires. There's a big one burning near Heather LeConson's home in Merman Lake, Arizona.
It is like living in the middle of the world's largest campfire.
There's no way to get out of the smoke. It's permeating the house.
It's one of 37 major fires burning across the West. The biggest by far is a 300,000-acre blaze in central Utah. John Huntsman is the governor.
We are a veritable tinderbox right now, and we can see it all around us. And we just don't want any more destruction than what we have seen.
Erratic winds have made it difficult to contain the fire. The winds of change blew strong today at the National Hurricane Center, where controversial director Bill Proenza is out after just 6 months on the job. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the background.
This all started back in January when Proenza took office. Almost immediately, he started lobbying for the quick replacement of a dying weather satellite, saying its loss would seriously hurt the accuracy of hurricane forecasts. Many of the center forecasters felt that assessment was dead wrong. They say they tried to handle it internally, but Proenza kept doing more media interviews, and last week, about half the staff finally went public to say he should go.
No word on a replacement. A body found today in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, is believed to be that of Kelly Nolan, a 22-year-old student who disappeared in Madison last month. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Time to go home, to take our boys and win them, to take our girls and win them, to take our boys and win them, to take our girls. Time to go home, to take our boys.
Lots of developments related to the war and occupation of Iraq by the United States forces. Last week we learned that there are now more military contractors serving on duty in Iraq than there are uniformed service members. And we had an interesting conversation during our regular Thursday segment with Scott Dick when we reached Dan Callahan, who is an attorney for the families, the survivors of four Blackwater contractors who were brutally killed and then their bodies were strung up on the bridge near Fallujah, March 2004. What Dan Callahan told us is that the way that Blackwater is responding to the demands of the families for compensation for the loss of their loved ones it's reprehensible and simply disgusting. And essentially, Blackwater is using every legal technique available, including hiring Kenneth Starr to replace Fred Fielding, who's now the White House counsel and was during the Reagan administration. And so they are using everything within their reach, and of course they have deep pockets fueled by these government contracts that they have enjoyed over the last few years. And Blackwater is just one of the contractors operating in Iraq. And it appears that they treat their employees, they're not quite employees, they are independent contractors in many cases. They treat them like disposable military robots. And it's a very serious problem. And as well as the report from the L.A. Times about the population of contractors exceeding the number of military members, we also learned that there are serious problems with the contractors when they come home. And Jana Crowder started a website called AmericanContractorsInIraq.com. And I just learned we're having trouble reaching her, so we're going to try to get her in about half an hour. Unfortunately, Cliff Schechter is available at this time. Cliff, of course, has a new book coming out this fall called The Real McCain. He operates two websites, therealmccain.com, with a little collaboration from filmmaker Robert Greenwald. And he blogs at cliffschechter.com or cliffschechter.blogspot.com if you prefer. Hey, Cliff.
Peter, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for being available on a moment's notice.
For you, for a good man originally from Cincinnati, I will do anything.
You're so kind.
And the perfect segue here, of course, is you brought up the site, The Real McCain.
Yeah.
It's now been folded into a larger Brave New Films blog.
Ah.
Which I have now joined Brave New Films and I'm running. And the reason I bring that up is because one of the big things that we cover is, of course, Robert did the film Iraq for Sale,
mm-hmm.
about the contractors and about the situation there and how bad, poorly soldiers are being treated, and Halliburton giving tainted water to soldiers. And
at a high markup?
Well, for a very high markup, you could say, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, really pretty much the billions of dollars disappearing. So and you'll probably have a great person to talk to in a half hour about that. I don't want to go on too long. But
mm-hmm.
people want more about that. We actually, that's one of the topics we cover the most, is the war profiteering.
Well, Greenwald has been on our minds and on our show a lot recently. He joined us to talk about lifttheban.org, a new website where there's a powerful testimonial from a soldier who was drummed out of the military solely for being gay, and he's a language expert who could be helping us in Iraq, but instead he's here stateside, unable to serve. Also, Mike Farrell, the activist and actor from Hollywood, was on our show last week, and he blames Robert Greenwald for putting pressure on him to write his autobiography, Just Call Me Mike.
Robert Greenwald manipulates a lot of us that way. You see, I worked with him on The Real McCain, and he was so terrific, and it worked out so well that he said, you know, we do all this video. Why don't we put up a site specifically devoted to original online progressive video,
mm-hmm.
and push the themes we've pushed further about how the media is skewed to the right. Although he's done a lot of stuff on Fox, as you know, the film Out Fox,
right? Mm-hmm.
Shorter ones, and in fact, we have a launch tomorrow, which is Fox Attacks the Environment, and we're going to show all the loons that they've put on as so-called experts on global warming who have said that, no, everything's fine, it's just a couple happy penguins.
Yeah, like Myron Abell from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. You ever run across him?
Luckily, no, but I've run again. I mean, I know who you're talking about, and I've run across a couple of these.
I believe he has a degree in taxidermy or something like that, and he's put forward as their expert on climate change.
Right. The wind's blown through his hair a few times. we've got that one going up tomorrow. We're already being pre-attacked, but I guess what you're saying was a great segue because I loved what Robert did, and it just worked out perfectly. We decided let's make this a full-time collaboration. So
mm-hmm.
we're launching a number of campaigns, but the one tomorrow we launched an impeach Cheney one last week.
We talked about that. We played the video on the air.
Yeah. So I think
I'm up to speed. But in case I'm not, Cliff, you're invited to blast me an email anytime there's a new film launching that you think our audience needs to know about.
Well, thank you. I'll definitely take you up on that. And I know you had called me to talk about McCain, and so there's always room to look at the sad state of Senator McCain's campaign.
Well, I wanted to put that in a little context, too, because Republicans are jumping ship pretty quickly. We have Voinovich and Lugar. Warner is expected to distance himself from the White House very soon. And that leaves John McCain as a very, very lonely Republican presidential candidate. The only guy who really has stuck his neck out, and his neck doesn't work that well as a result of his injuries in Vietnam. And he's really put himself on the line for the president, and it appears to be the undoing of his campaign.
It's amazing. It's that trait of his where he needs to be the maverick telling everybody else that he's right and they're wrong. You know, that's one of the key defining things about him, whether he loved doing it to his own party on things like campaign finance reform or on Iraq. He had to be the guy who took the different position again, except for this time the different position was the really stupid one. And his, and I don't think he believed in it for a second. It'd be one thing if they sent 500,000 soldiers over there. You could argue about it. Whether it would be worth it or not, I would say no, but at least then you have a chance at accomplishing something, perhaps. But what they're doing right now, it's what obviously occurred in Vietnam. It's never going to work, and so I don't believe for a second he ever believed that. He took a position he felt would the Bush people, it would make him different, it would make him the maverick. He'd get to say that he tried to win the war, and the Bush people would never, of course, do it, and then they did. And then he dug in.
Well,
listened to his plan.
And Cliff, what may compound this is that the White House appears to be reading the political tea leaves and seeing that they have not bought sufficient time to get them to mid-September for the Petraeus report that they hoped would buy them time till the end of the year. And so it's very possible that the White House may modify its position before Senator McCain does his.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, they may have to, because you saw, for example, what happened with immigration, where so many Republicans jumped ship. When you've got a president who, the last four polls released, his average poll rating is now under 28%, his average approval rating. No one's scared of him anymore, and they don't respect him. And so they're going to do what they need to do to get reelected. And then a very interesting dynamic has come up, where when the immigration debate happened, Mr. Tough Guy himself, Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, went hiding and wouldn't come out of his bunker because he completely switched his position on that issue because he's looking back home and seeing his numbers cratering and he's up for reelection in 2008 and is very vulnerable to losing. So they've lost their own leader in the Senate. And I'd be willing to bet you anything he's going to end up doing the same thing. He's been sort of modifying slowly his stance on Iraq. So they lose him in the Senate. They don't have the leader. They don't have the guy who's trying to get the votes together. I think they're going to realize the game's up.
Mm-hmm.
And Bush's people might start slowly changing. And then you're right. I mean, what's left then? McCain may be the only one left without a chair when the music stops playing.
And the New York Times, in a front page story today, talks about the White House turmoil. They described a meeting last week with Stephen Hadley, the National Security Advisor. He's deeply concerned that the loss of Republicans could accelerate this week, a fear shared by Karl Rove. They also said that Rove had warned that if Bush went too far in announcing a redeployment, the result could include a further cascade of defections. And they quote one unnamed official, "Everyone's particularly worried about what happens when McCain gets back from Iraq." They're referring to his latest trip there. Now, he was there on April Fool's Day when he took a stroll through the marketplace with 100 snipers, two helicopters.
It's your average walk through an Indiana market.
Right. Yeah. Who was that? Mike Pence with him. So, oh, yeah, it reminds me of Indiana in the summertime.
Right. Indiana in what? In which world? The world of the Terminator?
Well, and should we all sing together? Indiana wants me. Anyway, what do you think that McCain is thinking about on that long plane ride back from Baghdad? Is this the time to pivot? Has the quicksand washed out from under him to the point that he really ought to just roll up the campaign and say, oh, that was a nice idea?
Well, I think one or the other. He comes back now and says he's seen things. They're worse than he's imagined. They didn't put enough troops in. He told them to. If I were his advisor, God help me, start trying to say things like that and pull away from the White House and realize that they're doing him no good. In fact, they've taken him down. Or he's going to have a really hard time winning this race. I mean, in the end, the thing I've said that he's had going for him most the whole time is how really sad the rest of the field is. And it was shown once again when it just came out the last couple of days that Fred Thompson lobbied the Bush 1 administration not to put restrictions on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy who's claiming he's pro-life now. I mean, among all these guys, you can't find a pro-lifer. You can't find one who's been faithful to their wife. You can't, I mean, they're...
Mitt Romney believes that marriage is between one man and one woman.
True. Mitt Romney, however, just has been invested in the Marriott chain of hotels, which is one of the biggest porn distributors out there in probably in the world.
Right. We got to take a break, Cliff. We'll return in just a moment. Cliff Schechter with us, and when we return, we'll find out if John McCain's slide in the polls may affect Cliff Schechter's book sales. I mean, that's what's really important here. You got a question or comment? Bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
All right, everybody, let's take a look at a little traffic on a Monday afternoon. And let's start off with a little bit of activity from the California Highway Patrol. They are telling us about a problem right now. It's State Route 67 at the Salinas River Bridge. Looks like several pieces of wood are in the roadway there. Now, what we're also learning is that they have a crew on scene, and they're pretty much clearing everything off to the shoulder, so this really isn't going to cause too much of a problem whatsoever. Looking at southbound Highway 1 at after State Park Drive, getting more of a problem there. It is a two-car crash. Left lane is blocked at this point, and they are going to call possibly up for the fire department to arrive on scene there. Also taking a look at another minor injury crash, Santa Cruz at Zante Way at West Zante.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 after the hour.
There's that great quote about war, and I'm trying to remember who said it. That the people can always be brought to do the bidding of the leaders. You just tell them they're under attack and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism. Now who said that? Oh yeah, it was Hermann Göring.
That's the war on terror.
Yeah, that's the war on terror.
That's my pal Roy Zimmerman. Go to royzimmerman.com and look for the CD called Faulty Intelligence. War on Terror there is the tune. And Cliff Schechter continues with us. By the way, Cliff, we tracked down the wayward Jana Crowder, and she's going to join us in about 10 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
And we'll talk about AmericanContractorsInIraq.com. Now, coming back to the critical question here, will the declining fortunes of John McCain hurt your book sales when it's actually out this fall?
Well, you know, we feared that we'd done too good a job on him at first, Peter, pointing out the many inconsistencies of one John McCain that in fact might impact it. But I did something that I think John McCain may have to do himself. I decided to pivot and take a look at the very same personality traits and issues that, in fact, I felt and have argued would make him a very bad president, have also made him a pretty bad candidate, frankly. Last time he was able to sort of be the outsider, lavished with media love, but having to run an establishment campaign has been a lot tougher on him. So I kind of started, you know, looking at the analysis differently and looked at and turned it largely into an analysis now of why he's doing as badly as he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it will remain quite relevant, and I think people will find it interesting because I'll still be the same me with the same obnoxious sense of humor. People enjoy that, but they'll get to learn along the way, you know, a lot of the same facts and things I've been able to uncover, which a lot of people don't know, about our media star, Mr. McCain, and now I'll provide some insight into why that's hurt his campaign so badly, too.
And even from your perspective, are you a little surprised at how poorly he's doing this year?
Yeah, I am. I really am. It does bring into focus the stubbornness, the temper, and a lot of the other things that I really hit on in the book. But it's amazing to me because he's wanted to be president. But, you know, the two things that are always warring with him, not always, but when they come into conflict, are difficult, are his temper and wanting, you know, he's wanting to get revenge, you know, against those who dare stand up to him. But also the other side of him, which is his ambition to be president. That's been burning in him for years. I mean, mm-hmm. People spent time in Vietnam, talked of this. So I thought that the ambition would win out, as it did in the case of Jerry Falwell and some of these other folks, and that, you know, but on Iraq, as well as, you know, on immigration, his stubbornness has won out.
And do you think there's any possibility that because he's going to reach a desperate moment, I mean, he's running low on cash, we've discussed the political problems closing in on him. Do you think that he may just blow up at some point and start attacking the religious right, attacking the Bush administration, and really blurting out what I believe he feels inside?
I think he could, and that would just make for the best video ever.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Macaca part six.
He just loses it. Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, he certainly has the temperament for it, and he certainly has the anger towards a lot of people. And I bet he resents a lot of people right now. It was his own stupid decision, and we talked about this in one of your earlier shows, that he chose to join with the Rove people and move way far to the right, as when he was in talks with John Kerry in 2004 about being his vice president. McCain made that choice, and it was a bad one, because he was a much better fit for the more moderate wing of the Democratic Party that was in control up until that point. But he chose to do it, but now he may resent a lot of the people whose rings he decided to kiss. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we could see an explosion from him, absolutely. But as someone who lived in New York for a lot of years, I'd have a hard time betting on McCain or Giuliani, who might explode first. They're quite a combustible pair, so someone should really just lock them in a room and put a video camera up.
Well, then they'll just be able to blame the liberal media for everything.
That's true. It is always the liberal media's fault.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know.
Yeah. Well, Cliff, I want to thank you for joining us today. I'll direct people to Cliff Schecter, Schecter.com or .blogspot.com. And you'll have to figure out for yourself the Norm Coleman picture up there.
Tell me you don't dig that picture. Come on.
Explain it. What is it?
It is Norm Coleman's picture from college.
No kidding.
So I've taken to calling him the Midnight Toker. Because one of his former roommates, because, you know, he's all he's tough on drugs now, but one of his former roommates came out and, no pun intended, dropped a dime on him.
Yeah.
And said that he used to be basically stoned morning, noon, and night when he was in college. And then that picture and one other one were released. So.
Well, that'll be a great weapon for the Franken campaign in Minnesota. Thank you, Cliff.
Yep, absolutely.
We'll talk again soon. Cliff Schecter. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored by Office Depot, taking care of business, and by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. This is Dave Ross. You'll never believe this, but after a month of steadily dropping gasoline prices, a month during which the average price of gas fell from a peak of about $3.23 down to $2.95, a refinery in Kansas has suddenly had to shut down. This is the kind of coincidence that makes people skeptical about the motives of oil companies, but market analyst Phil Flynn says there's really no one to blame.
We're starting to see an aging refining system start to break down.
More cheerful oil news after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Dave. Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design, Print, and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox-certified print specialist to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit them online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox certified print specialists only at Office Depot, where they guarantee your documents are done right. Office Depot, taking care of business. Let me tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. I'm talking about Ireland. There, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner. Dave?
Crude oil prices are flirting with $70 a barrel again, even as gas prices have been dropping, which means it's time to call up oil analysts like Phil Flynn of Valeron Trading. I'm actually not sure why we do this. I guess we hope that maybe this will be the time he'll tell us that higher oil prices will actually lead to lower gasoline prices.
We have worldwide oil demand growing twice as fast as a year ago at a time when we have major disruptions in oil supplies.
Apparently not. Well, then, perhaps we can expect peace to break out in oil-rich Nigeria.
More violence, more kidnapping has led to less gasoline and crude production.
But I read the crude oil inventories are at a 9-year high, so that things like, Venezuela nationalizing its oil industry should barely even register.
That's bad news, because basically what's going to happen is that we're going to see less production come out of Venezuela. That's going to drive prices higher as well.
Okay, but how high could they go? I mean, really.
You know, God forbid we have some type of a disruption due to a hurricane or some other geopolitical event. You know, if that happens, I could see $4 a gallon in our future.
Well, hurricanes shouldn't be a problem because we're ready for them now. And as for geopolitical events, being a superpower, we have geopolitical events firmly under control. Still, it might be wise to invest in a more comfortable bicycle seat. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Out there in the danger zone in occupied Iraq, there are now more military contractors than uniformed service members. More than 1,000 contract employees have died, and thousands more have been wounded. And as we learned last week when we talked to attorney Dan Callahan, who represents the families of the four Blackwater employees, now they're not employees, they were independent contractors, who were killed in Fallujah in March of 2004 and their bodies drugged in the streets, hung up on a bridge there.
It's just shocking the way that company is responding to the demands of the family for a fair settlement. And those are just some of the issues that are out there for the military contractors and their families. And if you've seen Michael Moore's Sicko, you remember there's a scene where this couple has to move in with her daughter because their health care needs have bankrupted them. And the son-in-law is about to depart for work in Iraq because he couldn't get work wherever they lived in the Midwest. And many of them feel that the risk is worth the very high pay that these contractors offer. But as we learn from the attorney, the contracts that companies like Blackwater write with these people give them basically the opportunity to just wash their hands if anything happens to these individuals. And it's just like, you're on your own, pal. Well, joining us now is Jana Crowder. Her website is called AmericanContractorsInIraq.com, and I've got it up on the screen in front of me. Jana, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I first read about you last week in the front page story in the New York Times. You were quoted there, and I went to a website that rhymes with Google and entered your name and found your website, AmericanContractorsInIraq.com. Tell us what motivated you to put this site together and to advocate for these individuals.
Well, when I started my website in 2004, it was basically to do like the military, to bring moral support to the contractors, like we give moral support to our military, not exactly monetary. Upon doing that, building the website, I came across a whole different world of contractors who are going to Iraq, who are coming home injured physically or mentally, and being thrown into the streets of America like trash. There's no medical, there's no COBRA offered, there's nothing. A lot of these contractors find out once they get in Iraq that they actually work for a foreign entity located in the Cayman Islands, not the corporations that we know in Houston and around America.
Well, I referred to that a moment ago because this attorney, Dan Callahan, was quite, he was eloquent in discussing the issues related to the lawsuits against Blackwater. And number one, the contracts that they wrote with these individuals gave them a kind of arm's-length deniability. And instead of calling them employees of Blackwater, they were treated as full independent contractors. And therefore, when these individuals or their survivors have tried to assert their rights, Blackwater's just saying, sorry, the contract's clear. We don't owe you anything.
Yeah, and the families are left to grieve, and they're denied any kind of benefits, anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing for the family. There's no counseling. There's no counseling for the children. There's nothing.
Yeah. And, Jana, we also discussed this with a contributor to our program, Scott Dick, who served in the military, retired from the Army as a major. He spent some time, too, working as a contractor, not in a war zone, and his work was about computers. But he said that as a subcontractor to a military contractor, that they paid him X amount of money, and they also provided a benefit package. And then when they charged the government for his salary and benefits, they marked that up quite a bit. They add margin to it, profit. And yet you just described that these individuals come back from Iraq and there's no COBRA. You know, they don't have access. Obviously, they're not considered veterans, so they can't go to the VA.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
A lot of these guys that are going to Iraq are prior military.
You're right about that. Yeah.
And, well, back in, I believe it was 2003, January 17th, Bush, before this war started, ended the benefits for VA. He said anybody that makes over $27,000 with one dependent cannot apply for VA benefits after their retirement or leave the service. So all these contractors with helicopter repairs and weapons repair specialists who are going over to Iraq to help our military who are getting shot up, and they come home and they apply for VA benefits, they're being turned down because they're classified as a Priority 8 vet.
What does that mean?
That means they can't apply for benefits.
Wow.
Under the VA.
Mm-hmm.
With 24 years experience.
So, again,
I mean, I would say 24 years in the VA or in the military.
So, Jana Crowder, do you have a relative who has or is serving as a contractor?
No, not now.
Uh-huh. But exactly what brought you into this world? Because it is a very distinct world, and you kind of have to have some entree to it, don't you?
Right. My husband didn't go over to Iraq, but, you know, this isn't about him. He went over there, he did his job, he came home, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the many contractors that I didn't know about that were not like my husband, who came home, who were injured. I mean, we have contractors running around America with bullet fragments in their head, and they're having to fight 2 years in a court system to get medical to have those fragments removed before they, in law, how would you say it, form a blood clot and they stroke out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I talked to many attorneys across the country. One is Gary Pitts, and I have Jacob Sheesh out in New York, and they'll tell you, you know, these guys are fighting to have bullets removed from their bodies. They're fighting their own enemy, their worst war.
Jana Crowder is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or a comment about the role of contractors in Iraq and the way our government treats them, get on the line now. She's with us till the top of the hour. You can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jana, I've referenced that last week the Los Angeles Times reported that there are now more contractors in Iraq than uniformed service members. And the story that you were quoted in the New York Times gave us a very dark view of the way these individuals are treated, essentially as disposable human beings. And they do earn high salaries, salaries that are much higher than their uniformed counterparts when they are in the war zone. But, of course, that doesn't mean much when you come home, as you point out, with a bullet in your head. Or the Times pointed out that the rate of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, among contractors is at 24% on average. And across the population of uniformed service members, it's about 17%. So contractors are really bearing a great deal of the load of the occupation of Iraq. And while, again, they often earn high salaries short term, that's not much consolation when you come home and have lingering or perhaps lifelong medical conditions to contend with.
Well, when you say they're working, when they're making a lot of money working over in Iraq, well, you've got to figure these guys are working 110 hours a week straight.
Mm-hmm.
They drive 30 hours a day nonstop. There's no overtime. Some of these guys, a lot of them that I deal with, are usually shot and injured, or they just can't stomach it anymore, and they come home within 6 months of being there.
Mm-hmm.
I have several guys who are there less than 3 months who are shot up. I mean, you seen Tate Mallory in the New York Times. I seen his pictures when he was at my house. He had literally a 3-liter Coke bottle missile go through his back and come out his stomach.
Oh, my. And what did the contractor he worked for do for him?
They are helping him.
Mm-hmm.
which
company?
Right. I believe he worked for Dynacorp.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actually doing everything possible to help their employees.
Now, most people know about KBR, which is an offshoot of Halliburton. Most people know about Blackwater because of the Fallujah incident. And also Jeremy Scahill wrote a fascinating book about Blackwater. But there are many other companies, Titan, Triple Canopy, SOS Interpreting. I'm just looking at a list here. The Shaw Group, I know they're politically well-connected with the Bush administration. Al Nassim Company for General Trading, I'd never heard of them. Now, with this population now of, about 180,000 contractors in Iraq, the numbers are a little bit fluky because some 65,000 of those are Iraqis, right, who are now contracting in one form or another with the U.S. military?
They're TCNs or they're Iraqis, yes.
TCN means?
Third Country Nationals.
Third Country, uh-huh.
Philippines.
And when you look at that picture of contractors exceeding the uniformed count, does that raise questions for you, or you think that's just kind of the way business is done these days?
I've never been into wars and politics, but I have to tell you, you know, after this war in Iraq, I had to go back and start doing my research and my history, and I have to question why in 1990 we sent 500,000 troops over to Iraq, and we only sent 160 back in, what was it, 04?
03.
03?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two words that explain that, Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, you know, I'm like, I believe in my heart, I feel like they were trying to hide the casualties because no one is keeping count. If you want to keep something from the public, don't make it a statistic. Statistics are made up of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't count them, they don't exist.
And, Jana, as you look at the picture, which are the companies that you think people should know about that have the worst records of supporting their contract employees when they come home?
Service Employers International, Inc., located in the Cayman Islands, which is owned by Halliburton.
Mm-hmm. And what's the wrap on them?
I have a worksheet on my website that from the Texas Workforce Commission basically stating that KBR was nothing more than a headhunter for Service Employers International. Many of these contractors who think they're going to work for KBR are finding out once they get in Iraq and they get their first paycheck that they actually went to work for a foreign entity located in the Cayman Islands who don't have to abide by American laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And are there American laws related to contractors that require them to provide medical benefits with COBRA extensions, for example?
You would hope so. I see DynCorp doing a wonderful job with their employees. There are good companies out there who are taking care of their companies. But it's just getting it out there and letting them know, find out who you're going to work for before you go over there.
Mm-hmm. And, Jana, I'm at your homepage now. Is the worksheet you're referring to labeled Halliburton KBR Employees ?
I'd have to go look. It should say Texas Workforce Commission.
Yeah, it's a screenshot of a memorandum from Texas Workforce Commission.
The name and Social Security number were marked out.
Right, yeah, that's blanked out. And it says a claimant was last employed by a foreign entity, Service Employees International, which is working in Kuwait, Iraq, Bosnia, Macedonia, and other countries. The contract will indicate the name and work location. And then they are referred to an outfit in Dubai.
Yeah, they have an office in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Where Halliburton moved to.
Okay.
If you get on to the very last one, that one kills me, where it says, the very last paragraph, what does it read?
Simply put, the claimant's employment did not occur in Texas, and the last employer is not located in and has no employees in Texas. Thus, the claimant is not entitled to unemployment benefits.
Thank you.
So
these are what these guys are facing when they come home.
So these are all kinds of legal loopholes, contracts that are one-sided, that are written to benefit the companies and limit their liability, in fact, eliminate it almost entirely.
Mm-hmm. I have the whole KBR handbook, which I haven't figured out what it's for.
And why is that?
Because they don't work for KBR. The guys that gave me the handbook did not work for KBR. They worked for SEII, which they were told was nothing more than a payroll company.
Very interesting. We're going to take a break and return with Jana Crowder. The website is AmericanContractorsInIraq.com. And if you'd like to talk with us, give us a call now, toll free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. You can visit our website at PeterBCollins.com.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment,
and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
And there it is, folks, the traffic update. Well, a lot of stuff going on here in San Francisco with the All-Star weekend and All-Star festivities. But folks that have already come down for that don't need to worry about traffic because they've left a long time ago. Hey, Watsonville, looks like Amnesty Road at Corona. We have animals in the roadway. Get ready for this. It's a bull loose in the roadway, and they're trying to corral that bad boy as we speak. Santa Cruz, southbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard, a crash there, two vehicles. It is on the right shoulder. CHP is on the scene. Los Gatos, it looks like southbound 17, right at the Cat's Restaurant. We do have a U-Haul truck in the lanes. And in Hollister, 156 at 25, we have a stall cleared out of the way. Santa Cruz, Goss Avenue, between Market and Bancaforte, closed for paving work until 6 p.m. This report brought to you by Maximum Strength and Zantac.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about military contractors in occupied Iraq.
Nature's way telling you something's wrong. Nature's way telling you when the song. Nature's way of saving you.
We're talking with Jana Crowder. She started the website AmericanContractorsInIraq.com. And on the homepage, there's a line here, Iraq contract workers, deniable, disposable casualties. And Jana, talk a little bit about that, because most Americans, at least those who buy the president's position about the war and the need to occupy Iraq, believe that it's some sort of a noble cause. And believe that not only the uniformed service members who are there, but the contractors who support them, driving trucks and doing all kinds of support chores, as well as those who truly can be called mercenaries. They are armed security personnel who do not report to the generals on the ground, but instead report to their employers or the companies that they contract to. And when you look at that picture, do you think it's fair to the contractors, and do you think that the American public has even a shred of an idea of how they're being treated, and particularly what happens to many of them when they come home?
No, I don't. And the term mercenaries, these private security contractors are not going over there to fight this war. They are not paid to go over there and kill Iraqis. They are basically going over there and protecting the contractors who do not have military escorts when going from one job to another out in Iraq, like on the power plants, on the schools and the hospitals, where there are no military protecting them.
Well, but for example, what Dan Callahan told us was that the four Blackwater contract employees who were killed in Fallujah were told that they were going to be bodyguards for Paul Bremer. And instead, they wound up driving trucks and securing a convoy of kitchen equipment.
Mm-hmm. Contractors hauling probably kitchen equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not over there fighting the war. Now, they do protect the contractors, but they don't fight the war. They're not over there to kill Iraqis.
Mm-hmm. Do we know that for a fact? I mean, I know that that's not their expectation, and that's not what the American people are being told.
No, they don't talk about contractors. We don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear on the TV a whole lot. I mean, CBS and ABC have done a few things. The major news networks don't.
Yeah.
You hear very little. You don't even hear the death.
Mm-hmm.
When contractors die over there, they're not counted. They, you know, there's nothing.
Janet, let me just give you an opportunity here because you're immersed in this world. There's a lot you know. If there is one story about one individual or one of these contracting companies that you think Americans really need to know, what would that be?
That after Vietnam, we as Americans learned what shell shock was. There's no reason why, when wanting to send contractors into a war zone, we did not prepare for what was to come afterwards. I guess that's the main thing that I want people to realize is when the soldiers came home after Vietnam, we are having the same thing happen all over again.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
Still, there's nothing.
Fred from Salinas, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jana Crowder. Hi, Fred.
Good afternoon.
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to say that we've been in touch with Mrs. Pelosi's office, and I think that everybody should try and call that number to, and I'd like to put it out on the air if it's possible.
It is possible. Go ahead, Fred.
The number is 1-415-556-4862.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets right into her office. We belong to the Salinas Action League, and we're down at the corner at Star Market every weekend on Saturday, and doing the best we can do. So, and we also have a person that in our family that was in Army Intelligence for years, and then he just resigned from the Army, and now he's working for Blackwater.
Oh,
and
really?
He's getting ready to go do his business again. So
we're
very sick about the whole thing. So.
Fred, do two things. Go to a bookstore and pick up Jeremy Scahill's book about Blackwater. Give it to your friend there. And also tell him to be very careful and read that contract all the way through.
Yeah, even
I will,
the fine
because,
print.
Well, he's been in he was in the first Iraq war. He's mm-hmm. been in Army Intelligence, and then he's been doing all kinds of weird things. So
okay, and Jana, you said especially the fine print.
Yes, the fine
okay.
print.
Okay.
What's in there? Give us two items that he should be suspicious of.
There's a lot. Just know who you're going to work for.
Uh-huh.
And read that fine print and read it, because these companies can be very clever to someone who's not used to reading contracts.
Uh-huh.
In military, I'm sure he's very well at reading contracts.
He's been in the Pentagon, and he's been in Homeland Security, and
mm-hmm. yeah. Well, he's familiar with contracts.
He's been in the Army Intelligence for years and years and years.
Well, if you can get the word to him, thank you, Fred. Now to Ray in Monterey. Just a minute, Ray. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Interesting program as usual. Yeah. Before we were blessed with your truth-seeking thing, we didn't have a progressive station here until KXRA came on the air years ago. Remember when Bush did the surprise turkey delivery on Thanksgiving,
right.
Unannounced, so that he wouldn't be shot down in Air Force One? Do you remember that?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, two things that were interesting. Ray Tell, a friend of mine, a fellow Aquarian. He was on the late-night program. He had a woman who was assigned to oversee the food and water quality for she had been assigned through that underground special operations center,
mm-hmm.
The Cheney thing.
Right.
She was assigned, actually, through them, and then she was fired when she made an issue right after that Thanksgiving visit about contaminated food and water being given to the troops.
Ray, I'm out of time, but I thank you for the call. Jana Crowder, thank you for your work. Again, the website is AmericanContractorsInIraq.com. Thank you, Jana.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's not due for days, but it's already leaking out. A report to Congress on progress in Iraq. The Associated Press quotes a U.S. official as saying a draft concludes the Iraqi government has met none of its targets for political and economic reforms. It's more ammunition for those in Congress calling for a change in strategy. And as CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports, the Bush administration is listening.
Senior Pentagon officials tell CBS News a debate is underway to determine what conditions must exist short of victory to begin pulling troops out of Iraq. The White House publicly denies this.
There is no intensifying discussion about reducing troops. What there is a real, again, you're talking about a surge that literally just got completed in terms of troop complements 2 weeks ago.
But clearly, political support is weakening inside the administration. A senior administration official who's been to Iraq many times tells CBS News the Iraqis have made the surge, quote, a joke, saying they lack the ability, the firepower, the discipline to take over anything.
Today, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid launched a new effort to limit U.S. involvement in Iraq. Fire officials across the West are very worried. Already more than three dozen major wildfires are burning, and conditions make more almost inevitable. The biggest blaze is in central Utah. Catherine May of KUTV in Salt Lake City is covering.
More than 300,000 acres have burned, making this the largest fire in Utah history. Five crews, 14 engines, and two helicopters are attacking it, but that's not enough.
We have ordered more resources. It is such a large fire that we're going to need a few more crews to try and get a line around it.
Hot, dry conditions and shifting winds are making this fire a tough one to fight.
Thunderstorms expected later this week could bring rain, but lightning could start more fires. There's late word that Pakistani forces have launched an assault to end the siege at the Red Mosque in Islamabad. It's been in the hands of Islamic militants for a week. In that time, at least two dozen people have been killed in fighting between government forces and hardline clerics who want to impose a Taliban-style government. 22-year-old Kelly Nolan disappeared last month after a night on the town in Madison, Wisconsin. Today, in a wooded area 10 miles south, they found a body.
The evidence at the scene indicates that this is a female and that it is probably the missing person that we've been looking for, Kelly Nolan.
Coroner John Stanley, police say she'd been murdered. Organized labor, which helped Democrats win control of Congress last year, suffered a big defeat on Capitol Hill today. Democratic and Republican negotiators agreed to drop a plan that would let 45,000 federal airport security workers unionize. It was part of a major security bill that President Bush threatened to veto because of that provision. He said it would limit the flexibility of the Transportation Security Administration. The Dow, 38 points higher today, closing at 13,649. This is CBS News.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox-certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox-certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
Behind you, Tuesday's done, oh no worries.
nice. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
The best thing you could do today was keep cool in a pool. Kids in Baltimore found a way to beat the heat. Temperatures in the 90s and above were common across the country today. In urban areas, it could be difficult to breathe. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story in Washington.
It's not code red, just code orange for air quality. Moderately unhealthy air, says the D.C. government, asking people to cut down on driving. There's no sign of that. With a heat index, how it feels, rising over 100, there were fewer people on lunch break at outdoor tables, but here's one.
Today it's hot, but definitely I'm standing in the shade drinking iced tea.
Tens of thousands of tourists are still going around to the monuments and museums. The smart ones are sipping water. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
New York City opened 290 cooling centers today. Swimming and shade in state parks was not an option in Pennsylvania. They're closed by a budget deadlock. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Our next life exercise, fanning the ultra-sensitive smoke detector. 4, 3, 2, 1, grab a kitchen towel. Flex arms and hopelessly wave up and down. Grab a broom, thrust and stab. Grab burning pot roast and throw out open window. Wind up and pause. Don't forget to open window.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
You can call in anytime, including right now. We're throwing open the doors to the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And that's a metaphor, okay? What it means is we're taking your phone calls this hour.
I want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You want to talk about the Live Earth concerts over the weekend and whether it'll make a difference? You want to talk about the latest political problems at the White House? We'll have an update later this hour from Amanda Turkle at thinkprogress.org about the constitutional showdown between the White House and the Congress over subpoenas. And there's plenty of other stuff to talk about, too. So tell me what's on your mind and call us and we'll chat about it. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, George W. Bush maintains that America is safer since 9/11. Safer because of his elective war in Iraq. Safer. Because he stirred up the hornet's nest in the Middle East. Safer because homeland security is better than it's ever been. Well, news today from Washington. There are over 100 top positions at DHS. And I just cringe. I hate the name homeland security. I hate referring to the United States as a homeland. It just sucks. At any rate, the Bush administration has not given a high priority to securing the country from terrorists or other types of threats like that. Instead, they've allowed a lot of hot air gas bag Republicans to decry amnesty and prevent any kind of meaningful immigration reform in this country. While they want to militarize the borders and they've sent our National Guard troops there for photo ops, they're not actually doing anything to protect the border. We are vulnerable in many respects. And since 9/11, people have repeatedly talked about the threat posed by potential attacks on nuclear power plants. And here in California, there's a beauty. The twin love chambers of Diablo Canyon, built on the Hosgree Fault near San Luis Obispo at Morro Bay. And on the property there, you may have viewed it from an airliner because often if you fly from L.A. to San Francisco, you'll go right over Diablo Canyon. And right there on the property, they are storing the spent fuel rods. And this is a target that is available to terrorists who would like to launch an attack on the west coast of this country. Joining us to talk about this is Kevin Camps. He's at the Nuclear Information and Resource Service. And they have issued some information over the past week about the risks posed by our failure to secure the site there at Diablo Canyon. Kevin Camps, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for bringing this to our attention. Now, some people probably question this. They think it's the role of government to identify potential vulnerabilities and secure them. And this is kind of interesting because you folks have created a clearinghouse about nuclear power in this country, trying to alert people to the threats posed by, being downwind from one, any kind of seepage or leakage of radioactive materials into the water supply and groundwater. And there are other threats posed by proximity to a nuclear power plant. And so for you to get involved in this, national security kind of issue is kind of a step beyond your original mission, isn't it?
Well, I tell you, we're standing on the shoulders of giants out your way. The San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace filed a lawsuit against the Nuclear Regulatory Commission a couple years ago. And it was a year ago that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in their favor. And what the court ruled was that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission can no longer ignore the risks of terrorist attacks against nuclear power plants,
mm-hmm.
which they have been doing since September 11th. They talk a good line. They say they're doing a top-to-bottom review. Trust us, everything's fine, but we can't tell you what we're doing. It's all secret. We can't let that information out, but just trust us.
Now, I'm an oldster, Kevin, and I remember when the NRC was named the Atomic Energy Commission. And its portfolio was to promote the development of this safe source of electricity in the United States. And after Three Mile Island, they kind of punted and renamed it the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. But isn't it still really an entity there to promote the interests of the utilities that operate nukes in this country?
Well, you've got it right on the spot there. The Atomic Energy Commission earned such a bad name, they had to change its name to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. But the NRC was supposed to regulate safety and environmental protection, but instead they promote nuclear power. So they're violating their own mission statement, and it's to such an extreme now that they're not even addressing the risk of terrorist attacks. And they've had their name dragged through the mud for several years in the media. Time Magazine, ABC have done exposés on how NRC is really dropping the ball on the terrorist risks. And they simply say, it's not our department, the military, the baggage screeners at the airports. It's their problem. It's not our problem at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And, in fact, we don't have to deal with it because it's so remote, it's so speculative that we don't need to address it.
Mm-hmm.
But we keep bringing up September 11th, and we keep bringing up the massive amounts of radioactivity that are on site at nuclear power plants that, unfortunately, the 9/11 Commission itself documented that Al-Qaeda had targeted or thought about targeting nuclear power plants on September 11th,
right.
But didn't do it that day.
Yeah. No, there's one on Long Island that the Lilco plant there that I believe they had talked about or at least investigated as a possible target. Kevin, give us a quick example, if you will, about what the true risks are, because the fearmongers have repeatedly invoked the idea of a dirty nuke, any kind of nuclear waste that could be brought into an urban area and then detonated in some manner that would magnify the exposure and the impact. But we have potential dirty nukes at the site of every nuclear power plant in this country, don't we?
Exactly, and massive ones. Nuclear power plants are the storage sites for all of the high-level radioactive waste that has ever been generated there. And that's because the only proposed solution, so-called, for the nuclear waste problem is to try to dump it at Yucca Mountain, Nevada. That project is in complete disarray. That dump site should never be opened for a long list of reasons. But what it means is that at a place like Diablo Canyon, you have decades worth of high-level radioactive waste. Most of it is in indoor pools of water, which themselves are vulnerable to terrorist attack or to accident. But now, because those pools are full at Diablo Canyon, they're trying to build these outdoor silos of concrete and steel, which, again, are vulnerable to terrorist attack because they're out in plain view, they're not designed to withstand a terrorist attack, and there are various attack scenarios that could break open these containers and release their contents to the air. If there's a fire, the smoke would carry the radiation downwind. And because Diablo Canyon's on the ocean, then the radioactivity could get into the ocean and then flow downstream as well.
And what kind of detonation would be required? Could I simply, you know, fly a Cessna into these pools at Diablo Canyon and produce anything? Or do I need something that would really produce an explosion and essentially amplify the fallout, the nuclear fallout that might occur from such an event?
Well, incredibly, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has decided that it doesn't need to address jumbo jets crashing into nuclear plants. Like I said, they think the baggage screeners are going to take care of that. But another scenario that they haven't addressed at all is a small private plane loaded with explosives flying into a nuclear power plant.
So like the Jeep in Glasgow with a bunch of, what do they have, propane tanks or gasoline in there? And so you could create your own very crude detonation system if you're willing to die with the craft.
And again, the PR departments at the nuclear utilities talk a good line about how these are the most secure facilities in the country, but the question is, are they secure enough? There are soft spots in nuclear power plants. We don't need to get into the details, but the only target at a nuclear plant that's somewhat robust is the containment shell, which is designed to survive, hopefully, a nuclear accident, but that's debatable. But there are so many soft spots at nuclear power plants that are essential to the safe shutdown, the safe cooling, the safe maintenance of the plant, even when it's turned off. And that applies to the waste storage as well.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, under pressure from the industry to cut costs, is not requiring adequate safeguards at these facilities. In fact, the General Accounting Office, this was back in April of 2006, documented that the NRC commissioners, the five directors, bowed to pressure from the industry and took away from regulations things that would cost too much money.
Mm-hmm.
So specific examples were rocket-propelled grenades, they don't need to defend against that. 50-caliber ammunition, they don't need to defend against that. There was a list of things that the industry pressured NRC to get rid of, and sure enough, they did.
You think we have some surplus anti-aircraft guns that you could put in place, you know, just to try to reduce that threat and try to shoot something down if it did overfly a nuclear power plant? Because
I tell you, that's a mixed bag, though. Unfortunately, the security guard forces at these places leave a lot to be desired in terms of training and competence, for one thing. And like you said, there's passenger planes that fly right over these facilities. So that's a real dicey situation when you arm them with such weapons and trust them not to shoot down innocent passenger planes.
Yeah.
That would be a horrible day.
So what is the best resolution, Kevin Camps?
Well, what we've called upon in our submission that you cited to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is that the waste stored on site be fortified against terrorist attacks and be safeguarded against accidents, and none of that is happening. They're wasting $1 to $2 million a day at this dead-end project called Yucca Mountain in Nevada, and they're not spending any money at the reactor sites at this point.
Yeah.
So these wastes have to be fortified against various attack scenarios, and we need to look for a permanent solution to nuclear waste, but the only real solution is not to make it in the first place.
Kevin Camps from the Nuclear Information and Resource Service, there on the web at nirs.org. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to talk with you. Coming up next, we go to the phones and take your calls. Let me know what's on your mind. You want to harden nuclear power plants, or do you want to just close them down? He's got some good options there. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're going to go to the phones next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Merritt Real Estate Inspections in Watsonville reminds everyone thousands of children were reported missing last year. Locating them is the authority's job. Preventing it from happening is everyone's job. Remember, your awareness is our hope. A child's safety may depend on it. This message from Garrett Real Estate Inspections in Watsonville, reminding listeners, it's our responsibility to help safeguard our children. Give Garrett Real Estate Inspections a call at 722-1884. That's 722-1884.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
There we go. Okay, folks, taking a look at a problem right now. CHP telling us about, let's see, Santa Cruz Goss Avenue between Market and Branca Forte is shut down for paving work until at least 6 o'clock tonight. More problems. Let's take a look at, CHP telling us about Santa Cruz Southbound 1 at Morrissey. Accident there. Two vehicles, right shoulder. CHP still on scene there, by the way. San Juan Batista. Southbound 101 and Highway 129, two vehicle crash on the shoulder there, and there also is debris in the lane, and a cow on the roadway, Watsonville, Amnesty Road at Orchard View.
There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
Your First Amendment rights are protected here at the Peter B. Collins Show, although your calls are subject to monitoring, not for quality control or training purposes, but to advance the police state tactics of the Bush administration and the National Security Administration, their illegal monitoring of Americans' conversations. My lines are open for you right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Dave dropped an email from Phoenix after listening to our conversation about half an hour ago about military contractors in Iraq. He says, Peter, I ache for the families of the contractors as well as those of our military. The fact is, they were mercenaries. Nowhere in history have mercenaries been treated kindly when captured, nor cared for by their employers. What happened to these men is entirely to be expected. I didn't call out of deference to the families. Well, I get your point, Dave. I do understand that. A little bit later this hour, I've got a new bush-bashing song. I believe it was produced in Australia, and we're going to play that for you a little bit later on. It's called Georgie Boy. But let's go to your phone calls right now. Jake's on the line from Arcata. Hello, Jake. Welcome.
Hey, Peter B. How's it going?
I'm doing okay.
I'd like to discuss Cindy Sheehan, if I could.
You may.
Well, I think it's absolutely just fantastic that Cindy Sheehan has, you know, told Nancy Pelosi it's time to put up or shut up. Nancy Pelosi has until July 23rd, when the Sheehan caravan hits Washington, D.C., to issue articles of impeachment against Bush and Cheney, which are years overdue. And I'm very happy to see that Cindy Sheehan's going to possibly jump in there as an independent and take on Pelosi in next year's election.
Well, I have mixed feelings about it, Jake, because I certainly respect her right to speak and to enter the political arena should she wish to do so. I think that tactically, though, it's a mistake to try to attack Nancy Pelosi from the left, because she is, you know, I believe she is as left as you and I are, and she is hamstrung by the Democrats in her caucus.
Oh, yes.
And while I agree, and you've heard me say over and over again that it was foolish of her and not wise to say that impeachment is off the table, to try to threaten her into that publicly really puts Cindy Sheehan in a position of turning Nancy Pelosi into a George Bush figure who will have to ignore her in order to, you know, deal with the work in front of her. And so, unfortunately, I think that Cindy is presenting a kind of a distraction and a kind of ultimatum without leverage. Because Nancy Pelosi, and I've told you before, I worked on her campaign once in 1996. And at that point, she was reelected with 84% of the vote. She is invulnerable in San Francisco. And I would prefer to see people approach her in back-channel ways and try to twist her arm or persuade her to let John Conyers proceed with investigations up to and including impeachment. And again, I have no problem with Cindy Sheehan running and speaking her mind publicly. I just think that tactically, this is a maneuver that can't produce the payoff she wants.
Right. Well, you know, you are correct about that, tactically speaking. I guess the reason I do feel good about what Sheehan's doing, because I think she does provide an example to others around the country. And you're right, you know, Pelosi is a progressive, and I like Pelosi. I think she is a good congresswoman. Just unfortunately, like you said, taking impeachment off the table was a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
She never should have done that.
Jake, just in the interest of time, let me jump in here, because I wanted to get your reaction and see if you're available in early August. Because Sunday, August 12th, your congressman, Mike Thompson, is going to meet with the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Oh, interesting.
And let's see, it's important that you attend this vital planning meeting so we can all speak on message when addressing Congressman Thompson. So this is an event sponsored by AIPAC, and it is there's one in Napa and one in St. Helena. So one is on August 8th and one is on August 12th. And this is very interesting because Thompson has agreed to appear at these events that seem to be fundraisers for AIPAC.
Well, yeah, St. Helena is his hometown. Actually, I did find out something interesting about Thompson's fundraising, and I imagine that AIPAC is going to be a part of that. Just since Thompson was elected to Congress in 1998, Mike Thompson has taken $750,000 just from the alcohol lobby. And I know there's probably, you know, a lot of your listeners have seen that movie, Thank You for Not Smoking.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting that Thompson's so close with those kind of people. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Thompson ended up as a lobbyist once he left Congress.
I think he's very tight with the winemakers in the Napa Valley.
Definitely. Well, you know, he is definitely their guy. It's just kind of odd to hear that AIPAC is going to be meeting with Mike Thompson. That is interesting. And this, after all, is the congressman who on your show, Mike Thompson, said he wasn't worried at all about the Bush administration attacking Iran.
Yep.
So now I think we understand why he's taking the position he is.
Interesting connection. We'll follow up on it. Thank you, Jake. All right, coming up next, we're going to get a quick report from Washington on the constitutional showdown. Then we'll take more of your phone calls, 888-5-PETER-B. And I've got that new Bush-bashing song, Georgie Boy. You'll hear it before the end of the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Everyone wants to know a great hairstylist, and I want to share mine with you. Dallas and Ashley at Malibu by the Sea, 2024 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey. Malibu by the Sea is a full-service salon and bronzing spa. You can slip in for a tan and then have them create a stunning look for you. They perform cuts, color, multidimensional highlights, and the highest quality of human hair extensions. Dallas and Ashley, simply the best, making you look your best. Call them at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-488 for carry out to die for.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. A lot of people want to talk about Cindy Sheehan's plan to challenge Nancy Pelosi if Pelosi won't support impeachment. I got a line or two available if you want to join the chat. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. But before we take more calls, I want to turn to Amanda Turkle at the Center for American Progress. She's associate editor of the Progress Report with our friend Faz Shakir, who's with us every Thursday, and also an associate editor at Think Progress, the blog, thinkprogress.org. Thanks for joining us, Amanda. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Peter?
Not too bad. I wanted to get the latest on the constitutional showdown. We know the White House sent a memo today in response to congressional committee's subpoena requests, basically asserting a very broad and somewhat undefined executive privilege. What was the nature of that response? It came from Fred Fielding, right, the White House counsel?
That's right, and he basically told the House Judiciary Committee that we are not going to allow two of our former aides, Sarah Taylor, who worked for Karl Rove, and Harriet Myers, who was the White House counsel and a failed Supreme Court justice nominee, that they would not allow them to testify about the U.S. attorney scandal, even though Sarah Taylor said she's willing to.
Mm-hmm. And, well, that's the House Judiciary Committee. There also has been a demand from the Senate committee headed by Patrick Leahy, right?
Yes, that's right.
And so,
and they also not only want the testimony, but they want any documents related to the role of Myers and Taylor.
Mm-hmm. And what is the tenor of the reaction to this on Capitol Hill?
Capitol Hill is very upset because, as you mentioned, the letter from Fielding was basically exerting executive privilege, but it was very undefined. You know, Senator Leahy said, I have to wonder if the White House's refusal to provide, you know, a basis for the executive privilege claim is more to do with its inability to craft an effective one. You know, basically the White House wants to have it both ways. They want to say we're not doing anything wrong, but at the same time they won't provide any evidence proving that.
And the other ploy that they're using is to accuse the Democrats of playing politics on this.
Right, exactly. They're saying this is a political witch hunt. The Democrats are just doing this for political points. But, you know, the American public, in poll after poll, agrees with what Congress is doing and thinks that there's something fishy behind what the White House is doing.
And have you heard any Democratic responses that, you know, clearly articulate that the politics that's being played starts at the White House, and that's why Democrats are responding and demanding more information, because the White House has played politics with the appointment and termination of U.S. attorneys.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, that's where a lot of the problems for White House is come into play, you know, with Watergate. It's because President Nixon was mixing politics with the official duties of the White House. And same here, you know, these attorneys, from what it seems like, were very qualified, were doing a great job, but were pushed out because they refused to go after the White House's political opponents.
Well, and also, I really want to hear a lot more about what is called the vote caging operation. But we see that the U.S. attorneys who did play ball were willing to file dubious or unfounded charges, usually against Democrats, for so-called voter fraud. And what appears to have been going on was a massive and concerted election fraud effort that was, at least to some extent, supported or covered up, or diversions were created by these U.S. attorneys at the direction of presumably the White House, but, you know, also likely the Justice Department at HQ in Washington.
That's right, and there's even evidence that Karl Rove targeted states and said, we need to look at voter fraud in these states, and it just so happens they're all politically valuable swing states, and, you know, where Republicans were vulnerable. And, you know, what's happening now is that many of these cases brought by the U.S. attorneys are falling apart. Courts are throwing them out and saying, there's no evidence here of voter fraud. This was a political case, and they're just completely throwing them out.
Yeah. Anything else that you can add that may have developed today, Amanda?
Well, basically, we'll see. You know, over the weekend, Congressman Conyers brought up that if the White House continues to refuse to cooperate, they may say that the White House is in contempt of Congress, which would be very interesting.
But ultimately, doesn't that just lead to a protracted legal battle that will take, it'll run out the clock as they gum it to death, to use the phrases, I think, of Kyle Sampson?
It could be, but it would still look very bad for the White House. It's very rare for this to happen. But, you know, right, knowing the White House, they would just continue to play it out.
Yeah. Amanda, thanks for the update.
Great, thank you.
Yep, nice to talk with you. Amanda Turkle, as we mentioned, at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Back to your phone calls now at 888-5-PETER-B. And according to my computer, we have a caller from Hoosier Country, from the great state of Indiana. We were talking about it earlier today with Cliff Schechter, and I found my R. Dean Taylor song. We go to Rex in Westfield, Indiana. Hello, Rex. Thanks for calling the program today.
Thanks, and how are you doing, Peter?
I'm doing fine. Give us an idea where Westfield is.
It's Meridian Street runs straight down the middle of Indianapolis. We're on Meridian Street about 20 miles north.
Okay, so you're just north of the end of no place.
Yeah, basically.
Well, it's good to have you listening online. Tell me what's on your mind today.
Well, the thing with Cindy Sheehan versus Nancy Pelosi. I post some over at Daily Cause, and the Daily Cause people pretty much have dropped Cindy Sheehan like a dirty handbag, which I was surprised at. And I'm just wondering, from your point of view, is Cindy Sheehan, the fact that she's talking about impeachment, I heard what you said before, that you weren't sure that it's a good idea. But is it the fact that she's doing it going to get national coverage for the impeachment issue?
I'm not so sure. And there are a couple of different factors here, Rex. And let me be explicit, because I'm not sure how much you get to listen to the show. I do support impeachment, and I'm frustrated that Nancy Pelosi has blocked it, presumably for partisan political reasons.
Real quick, I donate to Kucinich already, so I'm square for it, too.
Great. And I'm also an admirer of Cindy Sheehan's. She's been on this program, and I have told the story before that in my first conversation with her in July of 2005, just before she went to Crawford for the first time, she changed my mind. She confronted me about impeachment because I was kind of just tossing it off at that point. And she said, listen, it's going to take time, and it's going to require a buy-in by a lot of people. But keep in mind that when people first started about impeaching Nixon, people thought it was crazy. And when people first started talking about impeaching Clinton, nobody thought it would ever happen. And so I give her credit for articulating that, and also just personally for opening my mind. The problem I see is that Cindy gave her public resignation a couple of months ago. And I think that this is going to create an opportunity for the right wing to trash her again. And I do think that it's unfortunate. One of the reasons she, quote unquote, resigned is that she was getting hit by the left as well. Sniped at, you know, her progressivism was called into question by some people. And so it's to me, a kind of complicated and dicey situation. But as I pointed out to Jake a few minutes ago, my feeling is that when you confront somebody publicly like this, you have to have the leverage to win. And for someone to attack Pelosi from her left, when she is under constant attack from her right, and that's the right flank in the Democratic Party, not just, the people who criticized her for going to Syria earlier this year. I think that it's a poor tactic that will not have the desired effect. And so, if Cindy Sheehan wants to challenge Nancy Pelosi in the 8th Congressional District of California, she can do that. But practically speaking, Pelosi is invulnerable. And if she wants to win her over on impeachment, the threat of a challenge is not anything that's meaningful to Pelosi. And so I think that this is an effort that should have been thought through a little bit further before Cindy made her announcement.
Could it be a move to actually start a dialogue with Pelosi, not to get her, you know, to get her to tell John Conyers, John, go ahead and do this, without having to announce it publicly?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I only can tell you that, you know, from my personal knowledge of Nancy Pelosi, that I don't think she wants to be, you know, involved in a public confrontation with the mother of a victim of the war in Iraq. And so it puts her in a very awkward spot where she doesn't want to give Cindy the silent treatment, but if Cindy, you know, confronts her politically and actually does file papers to run against her, then Pelosi doesn't really have much choice but to treat her as an opponent. And I don't think that you persuade her to change her mind on impeachment or to work harder to end our occupation of Iraq by confronting her again from her left.
Well, thank you for your views. I'm going to try to start listening to you.
All right, great. Thank you, Rex. Good to have you listening out there in Hoosier country. 888-888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join this conversation, 888-573-8372. And now Don in Eureka joins us. Hello, Don.
Yeah, hi, Peter. There's another I word, and that is integrity. And I think most of us in this country think of, with politicians, integrity is thrown out the window. And Nancy Pelosi was elected, I mean, reelected. I mean, the Democratic Party, not really her, because mm-hmm. as you said, she had it in the bag anyway. But much of this was because we, as you know, majority, wanted an end to this war. And I don't believe that Nancy Pelosi will move at all without a huge kind of kick in the butt. And this is exactly how I see Cindy Sheehan's role here, is to give her a big kick in the butt, and I will be glad to send my meager parts of my meager wage to her and do callings from my phone to help her, because I think we as Americans need to be responsible for the daily killings of our Americans and the daily killings of all the Iraqi people by this abhorrent administration. And so I disagree with you wholeheartedly mm-hmm. on this, because this backdoor channel stuff I realize the psychology of it, the approach is confrontational and all that. That's where I think it needs to be now, because Pelosi has shown that she is not going to move without some very strong kind of movement. And so I really appreciate Cindy willing to be like, what's her name, Doctor, the lady from Australia, who decided to retire and then realized that her heart and her fulfillment was to try to help bring more peace around the nuclear thing and everything else.
You're thinking of Helen Caldicott.
Yes, Helen Caldicott. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and by the way, I really appreciate you overall, just because I disagree with you here. I think you're just a super wonderful person. So.
Well, Don, I never take it personally, and I prefer people to be honest and do take me on. Disagree with me when there's something I say that you think is off base.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this is important on the left, that we don't have a kind of orthodoxy that says that just because I've got a talk show that I've got the gospel here. And I think that it's important for us to air these things out. I wish that Cindy Sheehan had floated this to some of the activist groups on the left before she went public with it, because I agree with her goals. You know, I want the war to end as quickly as possible. I want our troops to come home. And I also want the president to be held fully accountable, including impeachment. And while I disagree with Pelosi on her position about impeachment, I do believe that she has been trying very hard to confront the White House, to get a shift in policy that, despite all the euphemisms and the, you know, research talking points, her goal is to end the occupation of Iraq. And as I've said before, I think she's played a very weak hand as strongly as possible under the circumstances. And I am comforted to see that Harry Reid, who I think was a lightweight about the war as recently as a year ago, now believes that it's his real cause. and that he's got plans to keep bringing up votes to try to peel off more Republicans in the Senate to force a showdown with the White House.
Okay, I have a question.
So when you look at all these different things going on, again, I just think that the timing and the tactic here of confronting Pelosi from her left and trying to move her through public embarrassment is simply not going to work.
I hear your point. I totally disagree with you, but I have a question for you.
Sure.
And that is Harry Reid, and they backed down from sticking to the funding for the war, and what they said, Reid, I remember saying that very explicitly, you know, we aren't going to cave in and stuff, and they caved in. See, I think in this particular case, you're more tied in to the establishment, you met these people, you have more of an emotional vested interest in one level than I do.
All right, Don, I'm sorry I'm out of time here. I got to run to a break, and I'm already late, but I appreciate your call, and we can air it out again. We got a bunch of callers on the line. We'll get to you next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Okay, take a look at traffic, and we got a little bit to talk about right now at this point. We are looking at Watsonville, Amnesty Road at Orchard. Still got reports of animals on the roadway. It's a cow on the right shoulder, and we're still reporting it. And by the way, Rio Del Mar, northbound 1 at Rio Del Mar Boulevard, we have people on the overcrossing shouting and hanging items over it. It's causing what we call a visual distraction, and it is creating slow traffic as a result of this. So heads up in this particular area. San Juan Batista, we are looking at a problem. It is, what are they saying? Southbound 101 at 129, two-vehicle crash, right shoulder debris in the roadway as well. And Santa Cruz, Goss Avenue between Market and Brand Conforti shut down for paving work until this 6 o'clock. This report brought to you by Days End.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show now, as promised. We debut a new tune in the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives, Bush Bashing Division. This one is Andrew Horobin, and it's called Georgie Boy.
Be the president of America like my daddy. He's a mean son of a bitch. He's the Big Mac baddie. So he got me an election that he took from Al Gore. Cause the pussy don't know a damn thing about war. I am the king of the world. My kingdom's under construction. And I'm building nuclear weapons of mass destruction. The United States.
has divided nations. Got billions of dollars of bombs and we're not gonna waste my pants in the Congress and I show them my ass. If they kiss, it's a ticket to the top of the class. I go to war when I want to and I make the first try. Cause I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I am the meanest damn mother ever got on a mic. I am a George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. There was a man called Satan, but they called him a saint. He had everything I want, and it drove me insane. This diplomacy is the thing of the past. To just put two bunker busting caps in his ass. I get hard on my man on the button tonight. I'm delivering peace in the name of Jesus Christ. I got together with my buddies to have and have more. Said I got a way of giving jobs to the poor. I called up Mr. Nike and he said just do it. I flopped it out to Tony Blair and he blew it. We never did find the weapons, but that's alright. Because I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. See, I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what
I believe Andrew Horobin is from Australia. The song's a little edgy. Maybe pushes your limits on lyrics a little bit, but we did check with our attorneys, and it doesn't violate the FCC rules. It's called Georgie Boy. So I hope you enjoyed that. Back to your calls now. And Ann from Monterey, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, hi. I think you have a wonderful show, and you develop topics that are very pertinent and important to everybody nationwide. And this latest topic about the Iraq War and the problems with the president administration and so on are very important. One of the things that bothers me, though, is that as an American, I find it very difficult to have to be a Republican or a Democrat and all this talk about being to the left or being to the right. When, you know, I just want to be an American, and, you know, I agree with some of the things on the left and some of the things on the right, and eventually I've reached the Aristotelian, moderation theory, and I just, I wish that the talk wouldn't be so much about what's on the left or on the right, but more on what's right for the United States of America.
Well, I can understand that. Unfortunately, the people in charge of our government don't have that kind of a view. And we are in a very difficult struggle to regain our country from radical Republicans, conservatives who pander to interests that, you know, don't represent the majority of secular Americans, the majority of non-conservative Americans. And so I understand your point, Ann. But here on this program, what we try to do is offer people a look at what the problems are and what ways are to approach them, hoping for solutions, if not at least approaches that can help. And so a lot of that, unfortunately, does devolve into talk of partisan politics and the two-party system. If you made me emperor, I'd change it all.
Well, you know, that's what's so difficult, because we only have two parties, and if you have somebody who wants to make a voice of reason, then they're left out because they can't make enough money. And, you know, that's one of the things I find disturbing, is that the only people that can run for office are those who are able to accumulate massive amounts of money. And I don't think that Abraham Lincoln had that opportunity, and yet he, in my opinion, was the greatest president we've ever had.
Yeah.
And, you know, he studied by candlelight in a shabby shack, you know, in order to get his law degree, and he was a great president, and he cared about, you know, the United States and what was good for every American, not just a Republican, not just a Democrat, but every American. And
well,
Ann, some way we could get back to that.
I'm tight for time here. I'm glad you called. I appreciate your point of view, and I hope you'll call me again. Let's jump to Gary in Santa Cruz. Hello, Gary. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I got a minute here. So I'm going to say your approach is failed. We'll look at the judges. They kept saying save the powder when they kept putting up the radical judges, and now we're stuck with a court that we have. Meanwhile, Cindy is doing something effective, and I think you should support her, because the only way we're going to get change is to do the same thing the activists did to the DNC, is kick the DLC out with a grassroots movement. And that's what Cindy's going to do if Nancy won't stand up and quit saving her powder.
Well, I understand your point. You're entitled to it. I'm a practical guy, and I believe that...
So you think those judges we got stuck with. It was good to save our powder and let all those extremists onto the court.
No, and I didn't support that at that time.
Well, this is the same deal.
No, it's not.
You're saying save the powder.
No, I'm saying be practical and don't try to confront her from her left because it won't work. It's simply an attempt to embarrass her, and she will revert.
To either get her to
I gotta
stand
go.
Up or
Sorry.
Leave office.
Out of time.
We meet again.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a progress report that reports no progress. A draft report being delivered to Congress later this week will say the Iraqi government has failed to meet its goals for political and economic reform, making the U.S. troop surge a joke, in the words of one senior administration official.
I'm Mark Knoller in Washington. Despite growing pressure from some Republicans, the White House denies it's discussing ways to speed up a U.S. pullout from Iraq. Spokesman Tony Snow says any downsizing of the U.S. troop presence in Iraq will be based on the military situation there and not on domestic politics at home.
Senior Pentagon officials tell CBS News they are discussing a troop pullout, debating what conditions would have to exist short of victory to allow American forces to start coming home. There's a new report on the costs of the war. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
The troop surge is leading to a dollar surge. The Congressional Research Service reports the Iraq war is now costing $10 billion a month. That's way up from last year, which was higher than the year before. The cost in lives is mounting, too, and Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid is trying again to get the Senate to set a deadline for pulling out U.S. forces.
I understand the feelings of the American people that we haven't done enough because we haven't done enough.
But the White House insists no change in strategy is planned and Senate Republicans can still block any attempt to force one. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The heat got to a lot of people today, like this guy in Chicago.
I'm dying.
Across much of the nation, temperatures soared into the upper 90s and beyond. Hot, dry conditions create the perfect atmosphere for wildfires. There's a big one in South Dakota.
We have regrettably lost about approximately 28 homes were destroyed or damaged, and about 50 other buildings.
Fire Information Officer Larry Helmerich. The biggest of more than three dozen major fires is a 300,000-acre blaze burning out of control in central Utah. A funeral procession in Detroit today. Pallbearers carrying a simple pine coffin symbolically buried the N-word. Major Kwame Kilpatrick said it was just a start.
You can't just bury the N-word. Let's bury all the nonsense that comes with the N-word.
The ceremony was part of the NAACP convention in Detroit.